Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a great message. The offer still stands. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a blessing that is. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would look with me to the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 13, 1 Samuel chapter 13, we'll be reading verse 11 down to verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 13. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. The Bible says, "And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we do love you and thank you, Father, for loving us and for giving us opportunities to know you and to be able to draw closer to you. Thank you for church and God, how you have commanded us and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And how when we come into this place, we first and foremost sense your presence. And God, we know that you have a message for each one that's here today. And I just pray, God, that they would have a heart and a mind to receive it. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, there's going to be a change in Israel. And God is going to reject Saul from being king over his people Israel. And he is going to start preparing David to be the next king. David would be the king that God wanted him to be. And as I look here in verse 14, I want you to see this thought that the Bible gives us here. It says, as Samuel, God's servant, is telling Saul, he says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart." A man after God's own heart. And that man, as we all know, if you study the Bible, would be David. I want to preach a message to you that I've entitled this morning, just David's heart. David's heart. See, because we know that it was David's heart that allowed David to be chosen. It was Saul's heart, and what he did revealed his heart, which caused God to reject Saul. Now, Saul made a lot of excuses. He presented a lot of different things trying to justify what he had done. But when it came down to it, Samuel said, "You've acted foolishly because you've not considered God." You've not considered God's commandments. You've not considered what God has told you to do. And because you didn't consider God, no doubt Saul's heart was not toward God. If Saul's heart was toward God, he would have considered God in every decision that he would have made. And so it was because of Saul's heart that God had rejected Saul. And it was because of David's heart that God chose him. There's no doubt, as we study the scriptures, that God sees not as man sees. Now, all we have to go by is an outward appearance to begin with, anyway. And then as we look at the outward opinion, everybody, whether you want to admit it or not, when you see somebody, automatically in your mind, you have developed an opinion from that appearance of that individual. And so when it comes to man, I think it's even more important that we have an appearance that reflects the heart. And most people do. Whether you realize it or not, your appearance will reflect what's on your heart, who you want to identify with, how you want to live your life. It will reflect upon what's going on. If you had the choice for your appearance, then it will reflect upon your heart. And God looks on the heart. So it was the heart of David that allowed him to be chosen above all the others, even his own brothers. It was the heart of David that allowed him to receive God's help. Throughout David's life, we find that once God had determined and he looked on the heart of David, even being just a shepherd boy, and God determined based on David's heart that he would be the next king of Israel, it was David's heart that allowed him to receive the power, the strength, and the help of God. If you do not have the kind of heart that God is looking for, listen to me, you will not be able to receive the help that God has for you. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, look back there with me. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, there's a lot that takes place between what we read in chapter 13, but we know that it was David's heart that God looked to because he looked for a man after his own heart, and David be the one that he would anoint. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37. Now, David here is getting ready to go up against Goliath. But we find that because of David's heart, God had already given him strength. God had already given him help to have many victories in his life. In verse 37, David wants Saul to know this. And so we find in verse 37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion." Now, David actually went up against a lion. And what delivered him from that was not his own strength, but God's help. And God was able to strengthen David and give him the help that he needed, even when he went up against a lion, because of David's heart. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." So we find David's heart had already been prepared because David was able to receive the help of God in the battles of his life. David was able to receive the strength of God to overcome whatever obstacles that would come into his life. And it was because of God looking on the heart of David and David looking to God when he faced those situations. And in his heart, he said, "I can't do it without you." And
And from his heart, he looked to God and he called upon the Lord to strengthen him when he would go into battle against a lion and when he would go into battle against a bear, when he would be able to do what God had called him to do at that particular time. As a shepherd boy, his opportunities were to be able to protect the sheep. And he was there understanding this is where God placed me at this time. And as long as I look to God, I will be able to receive the help needed to be the best shepherd boy I can be. Yeah. It was his heart that allowed him to receive the strength that God wanted to give him. It was David's heart that allowed a shepherd boy to become the king that God wanted him to be. All of this reflects the heart of David. I want you to go with me to Psalms chapter 51 for just a minute here. This is a psalm of David that most are very familiar with. It shows much about David later on in his life when David sins with Bathsheba and against Uriah. It was a sin against God and a sin against Israel, because at this particular time when David writes this, he was the king of Israel. And God had looked upon his heart and he had been able to have many victories in his life. It was God's help that allowed him to have the victory over not only the lion, the bear, and whatever other battles, but also the battle with Goliath. And now we find here that David had, in his older years, had sinned against God. And he writes Psalm 51, and this is what he says. Verse 1 through 4, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Now again, it's helping us to see David's heart. Even when he is confessing sin, he realizes the most important one that he sinned against and the most important one that it is to have the forgiveness from is Almighty God. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, and that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Now drop down, if you will, to verse 9. He says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities," to do what? "Create in me a clean heart." David realized that it was his heart that was what allowed David to be chosen of God. David realized it was his heart that allowed him to be to receive the help that God had for him, to receive the power from God, the strength from God. David realized it was his heart that allowed him, a shepherd boy, to become the king of Israel. And so now he says, "Create in me a clean heart." He brings it all back down to his heart, because his heart was what blocked out God and turned to the lust of sin. And now he wants his heart to return back to what it was when God chose him. His heart to turn back to what it was when he was strengthened by God. His heart to turn back to what it was when he was made the king of Israel. And so he says with him, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me," which is connected to this heart. "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me," which would be dependent upon his heart. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit," which would be determined by his heart. And then in verse 13 he says, "And then, once this happened, once I have this clean and pure heart once again, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Or if you will, "I'll start producing fruit once again." When my heart is right with God, I will start producing the fruit that God wants me to produce. So it was what allowed a shepherd boy. When God rejected Saul, David was just a ruddy, young shepherd boy. But God looked at this heart of this teenager. and chose him to become the next king. Went through all of his older brothers in chapter 16. Went through all of them. Matter of fact, go back there. Look at verse 7 of chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. Samuel had looked on all of them. He said, well, wait a minute. This biggest one here, he's got to be the next king. Surely he's the one I've come to anoint. God said, no, he's not the one. This is what God says, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance. That's all we can see. But the Lord looketh on the heart. Over in the book of Acts in chapter 13, let me just read this to you. Write it down so that you can go back and look at it later. But Acts in chapter 13 and verse 22, the Bible says this. And when he had removed him, he removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. You see, producing fruit and living as God would have us to live is connected to our hearts. So, the last point I want to make here and spend just a little bit of time here. If that's true, and it is, it's the heart of a person that needs to be developed. The outside appearance, it's only for appearance sake, it's really not doing much good. Take a sinner, a man, maybe a drunkard even, and you can take him out of the mire, you can take him off the streets of downtown Indianapolis, and you can wash him up, you can shave his face, and you can give him a nice haircut, you can put a very nice suit, I mean, you can put him on the most expensive suit you can find, and you can put it on him. And can I tell you, he might look like someone different. But if that's all you've done, he'll go right back into the very same mire he come out of eventually. Because the outward appearance is not what makes a man. It has to begin in the heart. When the heart is what it ought to be, can I tell you, it will be reflected on your appearance. In ministry, I have often told our staff from day one, you don't help anybody by running them off. Just because somebody comes to this church and they don't fit the stereotype of an independent fundamental Baptist, just because they might not even hold a King James Bible, they might have another version. They might be looking so, listen to me, God sent them to the place and you're not going to help them by running them off. What you're going to do is you have opportunity to impact their hearts. And if you look to help the heart, if you look to develop the heart, the other things will follow. Jesus was known as a friend to sinners. He never engaged in their sin. He never condoned their lifestyle. He would go to where they were at, and he would start working on their hearts. And as he would work on their hearts, he would lead them to where they needed to be. And that's exactly what the church ought to be doing today. It's the heart. You need to stop trying just to focus on somebody's appearance. Now, appearance is important. Why? Because that's the testimony you have to everybody else. If we all could see inside and truly know who we are from the view, from the outside, wouldn't have to worry about appearance. but we can't. And so it is the appearance that speaks loudly to others concerning who you are. But God says what we need to work on more than the appearance is we need to work on the heart, because that's what God looks to, and it's the heart that makes the difference in a man.
So the heart needs to be developed. Who or what determines the heart that we are born with? Now, the definition of heart, listen to me, it's either this, a pump-like organ. A pump-like organ that's inside of your body. I mean, that's what the physical heart does. The heart is inside. Without the heart, you can't have life, because the life is in the blood. But it's the heart that keeps the blood flowing. And so it's a critical part of human life. Without a heart, you can't live. Without a heart, it will not keep the blood pumping, and you will die. But that's not what it's talking about. Now, it's a good illustration of how important what he is talking about, the heart, is, because it's a vital organ in the body. Without it, you can't have life. It pumps it to every other organ in the body. Can't think right if you don't have the heart pumping the blood and fresh oxygen to your brain. The liver can't function to cleanse the blood unless the heart is pumping to pump it into the liver to cleanse the blood. And on and on and on. So it is the most vital organ in the body. So, but that's not the definition we're looking to, but understanding that will help us understand what the Bible is referring to, which is the definition that I'll give you now: the center of the personality. Do you know every child has a unique personality? Mom had 13 children. Every one of them are different in personality. Every one, but Mom and Dad loved all of them equally. Although Mom used to tell them that I was her favorite. But anyway. But even though they came from the very same womb, they were all different. So the heart is the center of the personality, emotions, and spirit. And I love this. This is the core of a person. It's the center of who you are. That's what the Bible is getting to here. This heart that the Bible is referring to, and there's much in the Bible concerning the heart, but it's the core of who you are. So who determines? Who determines what kind of core you're born with? What kind of personality? Can I tell you, ultimately, the only one who understands this is God. It goes far beyond our human comprehension, but God has recorded some things in the Bible that helps us to understand where this comes from. Ultimately, is God, because God gives life. But when it comes to the heart, most of the time he works through what he's already established in natural means. The genetics is what we would be looking at today and understanding what we're talking about. The genetics of both parents make your children unique, because you can see the personality many times of both mother and father. The negative personality comes from my wife. The positives came from me. Now, we have fun and tease about that, but ultimately that is true. Not that that comes from me. But what's in our children
comes from the two of us. What's in your children will come from the two of you. But not only the genetics that you have, because you have the genetics of your parents, and they have the genetics of their parents. So the genetics of both parents, and possibly the generation of past genetics. Some would have a child and they're 6'5", and everybody wonders, mom's short, dad's short, where in the world did that height come from? And somewhere down the line, they go back, and maybe two generations past, there was somebody that was tall. And there was just a part of that genetic that was still in that, either the father or the mother, that just happened to God controlled and placed into the womb of that child. The Bible refers back to, and the farthest I could see in studying the Bible concerning generations past and the genetics connected was up to 10 generations. The Bible goes on to talk about the sins of the father being passed down to the third and fourth and on, but the farthest I could find, and I don't know if there's something to that, I know it's in the Word of God, but 10 generations, and possibly that's how far back the genetics could be in each one of us. Matter of fact, Deuteronomy chapter 23, let me just read this to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3, this is what it says. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation. That's the longest that I could find. 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So again, we find that the Bible, there's a reason God has for every word that He's preserved for us in the Scriptures. And how this connects, I don't really know for sure, but I do know that genetics can be traced back. And only God understands how they are going to make up every individual. And every individual will be unique because of these genetics. Not all have the same abilities. Not all have the same opportunities, because natural abilities will vary. Spiritual gifts will vary. But listen to me, everyone has the same opportunity to accomplish God's will. If the heart is developed. Paul was born with some natural ability. The apostle Paul was born with a unique mind. God would use him eventually to write 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. I mean, this man had a unique mind. But he was using his abilities against the church of Christ. Before his heart was developed by spiritual understanding and by spiritual truths, it was developed by religion. It was developed by the world. And he was very educated, and he had been developed a lot. But he was using his abilities and his talents, if you will, to be able to persecute the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Until he met the Lord on that road to Damascus, and when he got saved, and this changed everything. But what it did more than anything else, it changed his heart. And now with a changed heart, he started using his abilities. He started using his talents. He started using now his spiritual gifts to advance the cause of Christ to the place that God used him to write 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. Wow. If the heart is developed, if a heart is not developed with spiritual truth, and this is what's wrong with our country today. If the heart is not developed with spiritual truth, our sin nature and worldly influence will develop it. That little child that has that little personality that you can say, that's coming from dad, or that's coming from mom. Or you might even say, that's coming from grandpa, that's coming from grandma. I think you could probably go back 10 generations at times with certain ones. But if that little personality, if the heart of that child, that core of that person, is not developed with spiritual truth, that sin nature of that child and the influence of the world will develop what that child and that personality will turn into. Proverbs chapter 22, it's Bible. There's no doubt about it, it's Bible. Proverbs in chapter 22. Verse 15. We know that we're born with a sin nature according to Romans chapter 5 verse 12. It's passed down from Adam. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's there. Now that foolishness, that sin nature, is passed down all the way, going all the way back to Adam. How that will play out in the personality, in the core of the heart of that individual, possibly related back to generations. But foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction, discipline, shall drive it far from him. Disciplining that child is going to help that child to learn to discipline themselves, and through discipline, the heart is being developed. Chapter 23, right over Proverbs 23 and verse 26 says this, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. I want my influence to be that which is going to impact your heart. And I want you to look to me and develop your heart based upon the testimony that I have and how I raise you. Amen. Every father ought to desire to set an example to help mold the heart of your children. Matter of fact, that's what the Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 6. And let me just read it to you for sake of time. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath through your testimony, through your actions. Provoke not them to children to wrath, but bring them up, because they need to be brought up. They need to be taught. They need to be developed. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The child needs spiritual influences in their lives. Those spiritual influences will have an impact on their heart, which will help them develop in their personality, which will help them develop in their core of who they are. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, it says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Discipline, correct, the right way to discipline will give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. If he doesn't have that kind of spiritual influence in his life and he is left up to himself, then the influences of the world and the influences of his sin nature will develop that heart. And they're going to go a direction that you don't want them to go. A direction that you would have gone if your heart was not developed. Too often, parents see their children, some, praise God, living out the very best of their core because of the right development of the heart. But others see the very worst because the heart was not developed through spiritual means. The Bible says in Genesis in chapter 8, God revealed this to us after he destroyed the world with the flood, after he seen and presented exactly what was in the heart of man from birth. He says this in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21. It says this, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth." Now, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe the philosophers of the day? You're going to believe Spock when he says, no, children are basically good? Are you going to believe God, the one who created humanity and knows exactly what the fall did to Adam and how that sin nature has been passed down to every other child that's ever been born? And through that sin nature, if left to itself, evil. That's what God says. Because in doing that, the Bible says in Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The person that says in their heart there is no God has been a person that has not been exposed to spiritual truths, had not received spiritual truths to develop their heart the way God wants it developed. David's heart was developed out shepherding sheep. God says it's time to change the leadership of this great nation, Israel. And Saul's heart has gone far from me. But I see the heart of a little shepherd boy. And from his heart, and God looking at his heart, God said, I can see him being the next great king of Israel. Today, too many have had their hearts developed by their own sin nature and the world. What we need today is to turn the hearts of our children to the Lord. The psalmist said in chapter 73 and verse 26, God is the strength of my heart. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it all begins back in what the Bible says in Romans in chapter 10. We'll close with this. In Romans in chapter 10. And every individual at some point make this decision. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. You have to believe. You have to, from your own heart, from your own core, know that there is a God. Know that you are in need of a Savior. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Every parent's desire ought to be to develop a heart. So when that child reaches that age of accountability, because of what we have developed in their heart, they will be ready to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And once they're saved, now they have the Spirit of God dwelling in them to help them in developing a heart for God. David's heart. A man after God's own. What about our hearts? What is your heart like? What does God see when he looks at you? Like if every head bowed, every eye closed.